It occurs to me, listening to Gil's instructions, that we could say precisely, exactly the same thing about walking instructions. It's about being here and maybe tapping our scooter on occasion, right? To be here. And also this idea of making space for doing the practice and being practiced. So many of us here are familiar with the teachings of a walking meditation in which we really slow down and pay so real attention, maybe with exquisite detail, perhaps to the pressure on the feet as we walk, the movement of the ankle, feeling of muscles moving. In the same way, just being here. Another way that we could practice walking meditation is maybe a little bit closer to a normal pace. And instead of really slow and the exquisite minute detail, maybe it's a little bit broader, more the sense of the whole body moving through space. Maybe the feeling of air, it's the skin, the fabric against your body. Whichever way that you choose to practice, you can use walking meditation, of course, as continuity of mindfulness, but as a way also to balance the energy, to enliven the system if we're feeling sluggish and a certain amount of torpor, or to calm the system if we're feeling a little bit restless and flighty. So I encourage you to experiment and, dare I say, play with different paces and different ways of working with the attention, whether it's kind of small, really small area of detail you're paying attention to, or a more broad, expansive area. In whichever way, you can just be here. So not only does mindfulness, can we do mindfulness with walking meditation, but we can also use walking meditation to cultivate, develop, notice, experience the seven factors of awakening, which, as Gil mentioned last night, is the theme of the retreat. So, of course, the first factor of awakening is mindfulness. The second one is investigation. Gil used that word, what? So in the same way, with walking meditation, it can be an investigation, an inquiry into what is happening. One thing in which walking meditation is most often different than seated meditation is very often our eyes are open. So here's an opportunity to explore or notice that shift from seeing to looking. Seeing, which of course just naturally happens, looking. There's a little bit more of a self behind there. There's a little bit more of somebody that's looking. It's perfectly natural, of course. We all do it. But just to notice that shift. And then, as Gil said, as we notice it, either the looking may get a little more intense, or it may stay the same, or it may decrease. We'll go back a little bit to more seeing. And in the same way, we could do that with hearing and listening. Sometimes just sounds arise, but sometimes there's this listening. What is that sound? Trying to figure it out, engage with it. It reminds me of that X, Y, or Z. And if I may, carry this a little bit further and say, you can also notice in the mind when there's thoughting and thinking. Just kind of notice these different ways in which we are engaged with or lost in or more receiving. It's all okay. The practice here is just to notice. So with walking meditation, of course, is such a beautiful opportunity to not only take care of our bodies and that we're not always sitting still, but to provide continuity of practice, more opportunities to tap and for the scooter to keep on going. I love this analogy. But also a reminder, it's also, you know, the transitions from sitting to walking, from walking to sitting, from queuing for the meal or whatever it might be, to whatever you're going to do after the queue. Just walking meditation is often a time to kind of help pay attention to those transitions. Maybe one last thing that I'll say here too is that there's lots of ways in which walking meditation can be supportive. So allow yourself to feel that support. Maybe there's some delight when seeing some flowering plants. For me, maybe I'm a bit peculiar, but there's this collection of redwood trees out there that for me feels a little bit like a cathedral, kind of a sacred space, some real steadiness and beauty and grace there. If you find yourself walking with redwood trees, allow yourself to take that in and be nourished and supported by the delight, the steadiness, the beauty. Whatever you might find, maybe you discover an ache in the body. Maybe that's not as delightful, but allow yourself to say, okay, I'm here with this too. So in this way, I wish all of you, may your walking periods be a place that support you and supports the development and unfolding of the practice. And maybe I can speak for Rachel and Gil in saying that we look forward to meeting you all in the practice discussions as that starts. For some of you, maybe this evening or the next days. Thank you.
So I'd like... I'd like to, we have actually a few minutes here, and I'd like to say a few more things. One is that after this morning, we won't take any questions in the hall. Sometimes on retreats we do that, and just to keep it quiet, and experienced students retreat, and like that. And that in being an experienced students retreat, the idea is that we don't have to give the most basic instructions. We might as we go along. But it's kind of assumed that the basic Vipassana instructions you have them already, and so some of the things we say are kind of built on that assumption. So if you don't hear what you already know or what you already do, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to do the basics, you know. And it's for you to kind of find the harmony, and maybe what we say is slightly different than what you do, and maybe it's just an adjunct to what you do, but just know that you're welcome to continue the Vipassana practice that you already have, in a sense, and take what you hear as it works for you. So does anyone have a question about either being here now, if questioned about the logistics, and or about the instruction so far or the practice? We have probably time for one, maybe two. Someone has a question? It's very rare that the first day someone has a question, but you're welcome to free us from that mold. Yes. Let's see if you can speak loud enough. I'll try to repeat it.
Let's say there are two practitioners, and both of them come to all the sits on time, and they attend all the walking periods, and they're sincere about eating the right amount of food. What would be the difference, perhaps internally, between one that is practicing wholeheartedly and in the way that the wise would say is good, whereas the other one perhaps is not? What would be the difference if they're here fully, they're attending everything fully?
Well, that's a good question. So the question is, if two people are practicing externally, from the outside you see them practicing exactly the same. They show up for all the sittings, all the walkings. They look like they're eating mindfully, you know, slowly, carefully, but can there be internal differences that one person's practicing wholeheartedly and the other person is not? And I've certainly seen that. I've known people who looked really good, not in Vipassana, but in Zen. I know one person who practiced really, you know, externally, just had all the practice impeccable. And in meditation was mostly working out crossword puzzles or puzzles of some kind, mathematical puzzles, and, you know, entertaining himself with things like that. So so just back to someone looks good doesn't mean that internally. And there's someone who doesn't really follow a schedule, is, you know, it's kind of a little bit haphazard and shows up sometimes and looks lazy, and there could be two of those people too. And it could be one of those people is like the strongest practitioner on the retreat, that everything opens up, and the other one is like, you know, might as well not come. So what's the difference between inside, internally, and that's really supportive and helpful for this? And I think there's lots that can be said, but maybe to try to keep it simple, I can think of two things. One is that one has a real dedication, commitment to just being present, really being present, not drifting off in thought, coming back and just being really here. That's one. And the other maybe is a little bit of ideal, and maybe you can choose a little different word for yourself rather than the one I use. But the other loves what they're doing. Just really delights, loves, devoted, dedicated, just wow, just here, just really showing up, being here and doing this. So that's what I think. Diana, do you have something you want to add to that, her question?
No.
And you know, when I practiced with Sharon Salzberg on a 3-month retreat, at the end of every interview with her, and I had many in the course of that 3 months, she always ended saying, "Enjoy yourself." Mm-hmm. And at first, I thought it was just a casual, empty salutation. But about halfway through the retreat, the guy, "Wait a minute, I think she means it." So enjoy yourself.